Second Peter chapter 3, if you got your Bible. Now, I don't know why you came today, but I came to hear from the Lord. Amen? That's what I'm here for. And young man, I like to see young people sitting on the front. Amen. You might turn out to be a preacher. You make a good one. You're so aggravating now, you got to turn out this Amen? Say amen right there. I love him, though. He knows I love him. Second Peter chapter 3. Now, this was not what I was going to preach this morning. And that's the song they sang went right along with this. But I was going to preach on the cities of refuge, and I'm going to do that tonight. And if you don't know anything about the cities of refuge in the Old Testament, come, it will bless your heart tonight to hear that. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, what are we going to do? I said, what do you mean, what are we going to do? He said, well, I've been reading the Bible. It looks like things are getting pretty bad. I said, well, if you're reading the Bible, you see that was expected. We're not surprised by how bad it's getting. Amen? And so if you read 2 Peter, you'll really see how bad it's going to get. In chapter 2, he warns about false prophets coming in. And boy, we've got those nowadays, don't we? False teachers who privately they sneak in shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, boy, I tell you what, everything calls itself church nowadays ain't church. Amen, amen. We have to watch out. We've got to be careful. But then, as it goes on, he says, but don't you worry about that, because God didn't spare that old crowd. He's not going to spare this crowd either. Judgment will fall. Judgment will come. Read chapter 2. And then he gets over to chapter 3. And in verse 10, he says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That means unexpected. Every time you hear that guy on television say, I got this new book I want to sell you of when Jesus is coming. Turn him off. He's lying. A guy in 1980-something said Jesus was coming on September the 8th. They published it on TV. The man became a multi-millionaire and Jesus forgot to come. You know why? He was lying. So let's see what the Bible says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now he's not talking about the coming of Christ in our rapture, taking us out of here before the tribulation period. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's coming in all his glory. And when he comes this time, listen, he's coming in all his glory. And I know he is in all his power, because it says when he comes right there, it says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. All of that we look up there is going to be gone. And this we're standing on is going to melt with a fervent heat. And people try to apply that to a nuclear bomb. Man, it's going to make a nuclear bomb look like a firecracker. And it's going to melt. And he's telling us we need to remember some things, and we need to be alert, and we need to be aware of some things, that Jesus is coming and everything on earth is going to burn up. So you're wasting your time putting things up. Now, I'm talking about money and building buildings and all this stuff. It's all right to be comfortable, but I'll tell you what, you better, if I were you, I'd invest in some things that last forever. Amen. I went back where I was raised after Mama passed away. I went down there and looked around the places we live. They're falling in. They're rotten. Trees growing up through what used to be places that I played, things like that. This world does not stay the same. And if you go invest in your life and your time and your talent in this world, let me tell you something. You're going to be heartbroken, because not only is it going to pass away, the Bible says it's going to rust and rot. He said, store up things in heaven. Now, preacher, what are we going to do? It's getting bad. It looks awful. I mean, men are calling themselves women, and women are calling themselves men. They're raising poor little old children, convincing the little boy he's a little girl, and the little girl she's a little boy. They lock them up every day. Now, you'll read in the paper, for child abuse, sex abuse, these priests are running rampant. Yes. Hello? Yes. Some preachers are running rampant, abusing little boys, little girls. It's getting bad. Amen? And politicians, if you're a good politician, they're going to attack you and smear you and pay people to tell lies on you. They'll do the same thing to preachers or just regular Christians. Anything that's good, they despise good. That's the day we live in. Well, preacher, I thought I'd come to get a positive message. Okay, I'm positive. That's the way it is. I don't have a doubt in my mind. That's the way it is. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to search the Scriptures and see what they say. And Jesus said, search the Scriptures, and they are they which testify of me. So if I know if it's anybody or anything that's not glorifying Him, it's not Him. Amen? I don't care what they're doing. Now, in that next verse, he said in verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, I said it's all going to melt, but you know what he said there? He said, we'll look for that. We'll look for that. And he told his disciples, in that day when they least expected, he said, that's when I'm coming. He said, you be looking. You be watching. Don't be called unawares. Amen? Now, there's a crowd now, even in Christianity, that they're just whiling away their time, and they're playing, and they're feasting, and they're playing, and they're having a good time, and it's all about them. Well, I've got news for you. The day of the Lord's coming, and He's coming pretty soon. If I was you, I'd be looking for Him. Don't live like He ain't coming. He's coming. And by the way, even if He doesn't come while you're living, you still gonna meet Him when you die. I wouldn't be wasting my time if I was you. I wouldn't be chasing all this stuff with the world. It's gonna burn up. It's gonna melt. Things, look, I'm 64 years old. Things don't impress me no more. People don't impress me no more. People used to impress me. They intimidated me. You ever felt that way? People would intimidate me, especially religious people. But now, hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. You don't impress me. You can't hurt my feelings. I'm dead. I died in 1978. And you can't make me envy you. Dead people don't envy nothing. Amen. One of these days they're going to put me in a box and lay me down here. Don't get excited. They're going to put me in a box right there, and you're going to walk by and say, preacher, you like this new suit I got? And I ain't saying nothing. You can't intimidate me. I'm dead. And I died that day I accepted Christ. I don't care what you got. I got some stuff too. Somebody told me one day, said, we collect antiques for our home. I said, all my furniture's antique. It's old. Somebody else had it before I did, and they gave it to me. I probably got $1 million worth of furniture at the house. Don't even know it. I might have some old stuff. Might be worse. Hey, man, you know, hey, look, we'll not get impressed by this world, the things of this world. We'll not frame our lives and structure our faith around this world or the people in it or the churches that like it so much. Heard this past week, another popular church in our county is cutting out Sunday night services. I said, well, why? And they said, we don't know. I said, well, y'all supposed to have 300 coming on Sunday morning. They said, well, the preacher says there ain't enough people on Sunday night to have it. I said, well, I think he's lying. If you got 300, you can work up at least 25 or 30 people on Sunday night and have church. I think the preacher's lazy. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. It's a bad day we're in. It's a bad day. It breaks my heart for these young people. They don't see it. See, they don't see because they never saw the good day like we did. You know, when Herod's temple was built, some of the people praised God and had a party. The young people did. It said the young people shouted while the old men wept. You know why the old men wept? They remember Solomon's temple. They remember when the glory of God came down and filled that place and everybody had to leave. God was so thick in there that everybody had to get out. You couldn't even stay in there for the presence and the power of the Holy God. And then Herod, this worldly Jew, comes along. He wants to please the Romans. And his ain't nothing near like what God had built the first time. And I feel sorry for our young people who've never been in church where God failed. They've never felt the power and the presence of a holy God. They've never had to fall on their face because God was so thick and just lay there and weep and cry. Some of you older people may not ever experience that. And now we got counterfeits. Yes. Counterfeit Christians, counterfeit Christian music, counterfeit churches, counterfeit fellowships. It's all a bunch of counterfeit. And they have to work it up. You got to turn the music up. You got to turn the drums up. You got to turn the flashing lights up to make up for the loss of the power of God. Preacher, you act like you're upset. I am that people are being deceived so much. I don't have an outline. I just decided that I just read and holler, okay? Listen, in verse 10, in verse 11, he tells us that we're to be holy. We're to be ready. We're to be ready. We're to be looking. Don't you get so comfortable in this world you forget to look for the Lord. Don't let him catch you unawares. You're going to be ashamed if you do. You're going to be found naked. That's what the Bible says. Write that down, Jeffrey. That's N-E-K-K-E-D, naked, in the South Carolina King James Bible. It says that. I wrote it right here. Don't want to be found naked, unclothed by the Holy Ghost of God. Look at verse 12, looking for and hastening. You ever heard anybody say this? I wish the Lord would come. You don't hear that much anymore. I said it recently and somebody said, no, don't say that. I said, why? They said, well, I got a lot of living to do. I said, you need to die. I said, you need to stop all that living. You need to start dying to yourself. If you do that, you'd be wanting Jesus to come. And then verse 13, I want you to notice this. Nevertheless, it's coming any day. It's a terrible thing. The earth's going to melt. The heaven's going to be rolled back like a scroll. Everything's going to be destroyed. In one shout, the Lord will destroy it all, and it'll be over. Time will be over. Life as we know it will be over. Nevertheless, sometimes I talk like this to people, and they'll say, well, that's discouraging. I say, no, it's not discouraging. I'm tired of this wicked, foul, ungodly old world we live in. The best in this world is still ugly to God. The best church does not add up to the standards of God. We try, yes, like filthy rags. All our righteousness is filthy rags. He said, so we know it's coming. Nevertheless, we. And there's another comma. We. That's those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean believe he existed. I mean we believe that he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose the third day according to the scriptures to show that God had accepted that supreme sacrifice of his Son, the Lamb of God. He ascended up into heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us right now. And one day he's coming back in all his glory. He's not coming as a little suffering servant, a little baby. People don't mind Christmas. It's a little baby. But you get to talking about him coming back in all his glory, and it scares people. But we... I remember one time my pastor Jason Coley preached a sermon on us and them. Any of y'all remember that? Us and them. And he distinguished the difference between we and them. Amen? There's a difference. He said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise. Now there's some promises in the book that are mine. But you got to believe the book first. You won't. If we could do a survey, and I don't trust surveys, but if we could do a survey of all the Baptists, I wouldn't even ask anybody else. I've never been anything else. But if we could just do all the Baptists,
I wonder how many really believe according to his promise. In other words, how many really believe the Bible?
Come on now. Yeah.
And how many peace picking? Put these little sayings on Facebook, pretty little sayings. I'm not against pretty little sayings. But what about all the rest of it? What about the warnings? What about the doom and the damned? And what about the dead? And what about hell? Nobody goes to hell anymore, according to the average church, the average Christian. It's never talked about. Nobody's going to be burned up. Nobody's going to face judgment. Everybody's going to be all right. God's just some kind of old grandpa sitting up there waiting to put you on his knee and pat you on the head. Well, I've got news for you. We don't believe that. We know he's coming, but it's going to be a fierce and a terrible time when he comes back this time. We that believe the Bible. And when I say Bible, I live in the I live in America. I'm not talking about some mystical Greek text that doesn't exist anymore. I believe the old King James Bible, 405 years old now. Hey, if it's lasted this long, all those others come and go. You got the Book of the Week, you know. But we who believe the Bible look for new heavens and a new end, a new earth. Why? Why would you want that? Well, look at the last part of that verse. He says, wherein dwelleth, if you got a King James Bible, righteousness. When was the last time you heard some Baptist say, I'm trying to live right, I don't do that anymore? That's righteousness. When was the last time you heard a Baptist, I don't know about all those other people, when was the last time you heard a Baptist say, I'm not participating in that, that's not right? Those of us who know God, we may not always be right, but we want to be. We strive to be. We strive for righteousness. We strive for holiness. Come on. God's holy. He said, be ye holy. That's righteousness. There ain't nothing wrong with talking about that. But now you bring up things like that, and you'll get bombarded with all kind of stuff. People call you bigot. They'll call you narrow-minded. They'll call you fanatic. And I'm guilty. Yes, guilty, guilty, guilty. If that's what that is, I'm guilty. Amen? Amen. Righteousness. We're looking for it. We who believe the Bible, we want a new heaven and a new earth wherein, that means in it, dwelleth righteousness. No more crooked politicians. Say amen right there. No more crooked people running around running our country anymore. Jesus will be our mayor, our governor, our president. Amen. The Holy Ghost will be our vice president. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. I know we live in a tainted world. It's tainted by sin. We've done some tainting ourselves. But thank God one day we met the righteous one. Glory to God. We were tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We were. We followed the wrong people. We did. Say amen right there. All of us did. Amen. We sang about what the world needs is love, and we didn't know what love was because we didn't know God and He is love. Amen. Sang about peace, and we didn't know what peace was because He is peace. We were looking for something that we knew we needed but didn't know where to look for it, so others led us in ways that wasn't going to produce what we was talking about. And now we've met the Son of Righteousness. And He's going to set up a new world wherein is righteousness. And we yearn for that. I want to live in a world where I don't hear profanity anymore. Some of us old people, we grew up in the world. You didn't hear it much in public. We long for a world that's trying to be right with God. You don't have to worry about where you go eat with your children, what they might see or what they might hear. We long for a world of righteousness to where we're not again tempted into unrighteousness. It won't be there. Talk about righteousness now, people will crucify you.
They'll hurt your feelings. Amen. Wherefore, my beloved, verse 14. Wherefore, my Bible teacher in New Testament survey said, whenever you get in the Bible and it says, wherefore, look and see why it's there. Wherefore, what? Where? What? Who? When? Where? He said, wherefore, beloved, now there's believers again. Look here, we need to stop. I'm just rambling because I'm mad, okay? We need to stop every once in a while, and we need to remember everybody's not part of the beloved. Everybody's not a part of the body of Christ. Everybody's not a believer, and you can't be friends with everybody, and you can't get everybody to like you because they're not part of the beloved. They don't have the same mind you do. They don't have the same standards of conduct you do. They don't know anything about the Scriptures, and yet our churches today are wanting us to make friends with these people and try to win them by changing our music and our standards of conduct in order to attract them to church. And if that happened, it would destroy your church. Everybody's not in the beloved. He said, wherefore, my beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. I don't know how you can be diligent about something if you don't practice it but 1 hour a week. Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now he says, if you believe this, beloved, those who are saved, those who know Christ, if you believe this, he says now, what you need to do is that you need to look for such things, and if you'll do that, you be diligent about it. You be diligent. You work hard at being a good Christian. Right. And if anybody ever told you it's easy to be a Christian, they lied to you. Right. You see, the world holds up some man that can drink a gallon of liquor and beat his wife and abuse his children as a tough guy. They ain't a tough guy. A tough guy is one that lives for Christ and takes the abuse of others and the criticism of others, and he goes on and lives for God anyway. That's a man. That's a woman right there. Amen. Be diligent, he said. Christianity is not easy. If you think it is, you don't know what a Christian is.
Amen.
Now, it ain't hard to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on him. But let me tell you something. It's hard to be a good Christian. Now, it's not hard to stay saved. He said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. He said, now, unto him that's able to keep you and present you faultless in his presence with exceeding joy, he does to keep and he does to present, and all you do is to trust him. But it's hard to be a good Christian. Don't quit now. It's hard to be a good Christian. We want to be. We strive to be, and all the world and all the lost people and all the fakery in religion and Christianity and all the people sometimes in our family work against our being diligent in the faith. Well, preacher, you know, you could miss church one time. We got a family reunion. I'll be there after church. Well, preacher, you don't have to read that Bible every day. You can read some other books. I'll read other books after I read the Bible. Well, preacher, you know, you don't have to be so old fogey, you know. You can modern up and change this and change that. Well, leave me alone. I'm pretty satisfied at trying to be righteous. But I don't always make it. I have to work at it. Can I confess my sins? If I do, will you? No, I'm teasing. It's hard for me to be a good Christian driving nowadays. I didn't grow up like this. You know, we put the stoplights on yellow at night and let them flash. We didn't have no traffic lights at night. And there was times during the day everybody was at the mill working. I could drive with no traffic on the road. Those days were gone. Woo, those days were gone. And every time I read in the paper, they're building 450 new houses. I think there's 800 new ones going up down here and 300 something over here. Y'all look at houses. I look at there's two automobiles in every yard. So now I got 1,700 more cars I got to argue with. And I don't lose my religion. I don't cuss. But if there's anybody in the car that will, I'll say amen. You have to be diligent to be a good Christian. You think we don't want to defend ourselves? You think we don't want to say something back sometimes? You think we don't want to get mad and just clean house sometimes? You think that? You don't know nothing about being a Christian if you think that. Amen? Amen. We have to endure some things. And we have to be diligent about our faith. You think we don't want to compromise so everybody will like us? Sure we do. You think we like arguing with people who are wrong about the Bible? You think we enjoy arguing with people who say they're Christian but they look like they just dropped out of a nightclub somewhere? Yeah, we want, but we got to be diligent about this thing. You think our children don't tempt us to do things we shouldn't do? Like kill them? Not you, Becky, not you. I'm talking about no. It's the other two, Becky. Amen. You think our marriages are always hunky-dory and everything's fun at the house? You think we skip to work every day and say, yeah, I get to go to work. You think we sang hymns all the way to church today? No, some of them was cussing. I mean, saying things to the traffic light. But we got to be diligent. Why? Because Jesus is coming. And I don't want to be caught unawares. I want to be caught looking. And here's another reason. Verse 15. I got to quit. An account. Think about it. Put this account in your head. That the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. If I was Jesus, I'd have come 300 years ago. But he's long suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody saved. He died for everybody. I tell you, I get sick at some of the things that's going on in society, but I have to keep reminding myself, he died for that sicko too. And such were some of you. And hey, look, he hadn't tarried his coming. Some people say, you know, if the Lord tarries, he's not. Hey, he knows exactly when he's coming. He's already got that set. But you'll look at that not as God is weak or he doesn't keep his word, but that he loves sinners so much, he's going to give every chance for everyone that would ever be saved. And when that last one is saved, da-da-da-da, come up hither. I hope it happens in here today. We'll get that last one saved, the trumpet of sound. We can go on up to heaven and get this thing over with. Amen? But his long-suffering is salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. You think we know everything? You think I know why God would let that pervert I read about in the paper tempt little old children to do perverted things? You think I know why that drug pusher had a I can't remember how old the young one, little old baby was supposed to be in a car seat when the police pulled him over, had in the seat right beside the young and had meth and pot and everything else. You think I know why God lets that man live? I wouldn't. But God's long suffering. It may be putting that man in jail that saves him. There's some hard things to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, or they wrestle with them. Paul said, I know there's some things that's hard to understand, but don't wrestle with those things. Do what you know. You know you need to be saved. Get saved. Accept Christ. You know you need to be baptized. Get baptized. Submit. You know you need to go to church. Go to church. The doors are open. Go to church. You know you need to read your Bible. Read it. You got the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You know you need to pray. The door's always open to heaven. Pray. You know you need to love people like God loves you. Love people. But the things you don't understand, quit worrying about that stuff and go on and do what you know to do. People getting these theological debates. You're wasting your stinking time. The same Holy Ghost lives in me that lives in every born-again child of God. And if God revealed it to me, certainly revealed it to everybody else if it was time to be revealed. He said, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle with them. And he says, unto their own destruction. Some of the most biblical, knowledgeable people I've met were potheads. Yeah. They sit around and read the scriptures and imagine all kind of crazy stuff. I was knocking on doors one day and just going door to door and trying to win people to the Lord. And I walked up in this yard and this young guy in his 20s, hippie looking guy, you know, this has been a long time ago. But a hippie looking guy, he was out in the yard and I walked up and said, Hey, I'm the pastor from church down here. I want to invite you to church. Let me talk to you a minute. And I walked up there. He said, we've been looking for you. I said, you've been looking for me? He said, yeah, we've been looking for you. I said, why? He said, we have a Bible in there, and we've been reading the Bible. There's six of us live here, little old cracker box house. Six of us live here, and every day we get the Bible and we read. It didn't work because they're potheads. So they'd sit around and read the Bible. And they said, we need some explanation of these things in the book of Revelation. Ain't funny how the devil directs you to the book. You certainly ain't going to understand if you ain't saved. And so I go in there and I'm a young preacher, you know, and they get talking about these creatures, you know, in the book of Revelation and all this stuff. And I said, wait a minute, you know what you do when you read a book? They said, what? I said, you start at the beginning, you don't start at the end. So I took the Bible and I preached unto them Jesus. And I told them how to be saved. They didn't get saved, but I told them how to be saved. And they started coming to church. And two of them got right with God and went back home where they belong. And one went to live out in the woods to keep smoking dope and reading the Bible. And one of them went back, I don't know where she went. She disappeared. But anyway, the point is they were wrestling with the scriptures, arguing over what was right and wrong, when what they needed was Jesus and the author of the scriptures. So, and he'd lead them into all truth. He said, so Jesus is coming. Stop wrestling with the scriptures. Do what you know. Well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, do what you know, and God will give you more. Now, Jesus is coming. We need to get busy doing what we know and quit. Hey, quit wrestling with the scriptures on how he's coming or where he's coming and all this stuff. And what you need to do is realize he's coming and get right with God and do what you know. Churches used to have Bible conferences. I'm not against that. But we're not going to call a week of wrestling with the scriptures about all these questionable things about the second coming of Christ. We're going to say he's coming, like it or lump it, love it or leave it, whatever you want to do, but he's coming, and we're going to live like he's coming today. He said, you know these things. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. He said, be holy. Live right. He said, looking for the hastening of that day of righteousness. He said, be steadfast, unmovable. Be careful of error. Keep growing. Grow in grace. You have not arrived yet. You ever met a Christian thought they arrived? Take heed. They're going to fall. Now, I've been at this since I was saved in 78. I was licensed to preach in 82. I was surrendered to preach in 81. I was ordained in 83. I've been at this a good while. And the longer I do it, the less I know. Barely when I was 25, I knew it all. If you didn't believe it, all you had to do was ask me, I'd have told you. I don't know if I was that heady or not, but I know. But now I'm 64, and Brother Dan, don't ask me real hard questions. I done forgot more than that already. Somebody said, amen, you need to get right with God. I'm looking. I'm living. I'm praying. I'm witnessing. I'm striving. So what's supposed to happen next? He's coming. Amen. What about the White House? Ain't got nothing to do with it. What about the State House? Don't have anything to do with it. What about those perverts carrying those signs? Has nothing to do with it. He's coming no matter what they do. Well, I think we ought to get a bunch together and go down to the Capitol building and get some signs and march. You're wasting your time. You win people to Christ one at a time, and then you disciple them, and then they'll start looking and they'll start living. Years ago, these bunch of preachers called me and said, we want you to join us. We're going to protest this strip joint down here in Rock Hill. If you don't know what one is, ask your mama, okay? And we're going to protest it. And we're going to get us some signs. And we're going to march up and down that sidewalk in front of it. I said, ain't doing it. Why? Don't you believe in not having strip joints? Sure do. Why not? Aren't you afraid they're going to corrupt society? Yep. Well, why not? Are you against righteousness? Are you for these people? I said, I'm not against righteousness, but I am for those people. I want to see them saved. Yeah. And I said, you walk around out there with a sign that says God hates faggots is not going to get them saved. I said, what you got to do? You got to knock on some people's doors, and sooner or later you'll run up on their house and you can win them to Christ, and they'll quit working here. Amen. They'll get saved. Well, don't you think we have a right to protest? And you're in America, you got a right to do anything you want to. But don't think that those of us who are looking diligently for His coming have to do what you do. We're going to just look, and we're going to live, and we're going to look for Him to come, and we're going to do the best we can, and we're going to stand for the truth, and we're not backing up or changing or backing down. And one day the trumpet's going to sound, He's going to take us out of here. And we get to go to be with Him, and we'll be with Him. And then one day He's going to give us a white horse. He's going to say, Brother Dan, I got you a big one over here. One of these Clydesdale. And He said, I want you to put on this white robe and follow me back down there. We've got to go straighten some things out. And He's going to come back in all His glory, and He's going to rule for 1,000 years. And we get to rule with Him without carrying a stinking sign or making protests. And we'll rule with Him for 1,000 years and forget Lancaster. I've already got that reserved. That's mine. I got we're going to rule with a rod of iron. I got one back there in the back right now. A rod of iron. And I'm going back down to Lancaster where I was raised up, and I'm going to rule. I'm going to do some straightening out down there. But until then, I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to follow Him and let Him do the straightening out. Then after that 1,000 years, the earth's going to melt. And the heavens are going to roll away, because even with Jesus Christ in His physical presence here, man is still going to be corrupt, and He's still going to corrupt the earth, and it's going to have to be made anew. That's what it's all about. It's not about who's in the White House or the State House or even your house or my house. It's about Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I hope He comes today.
Oh, it becomes night while we're having church. That'd be a good place to get take off from, wouldn't it? Be caught doing something good for a change, going to church on Sunday night. Whoa! Now, here's your question. Are you ready? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt, if he came today, you'd go to heaven, not because of who you are, but because of who you put your trust in. Have you trusted him and him alone to take you to heaven when you die? Alright. Now, you say, preacher, I did that. Well, are you doing what you know? He's only going to hold you accountable for what you know. He's not going to hold you accountable for what I know. He's going to hold you accountable for what you know. Are you living for him the best you know? Are you serving him the best you know? Are you diligent in your faith? If you're not, here's a place to get it right. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This is where you do that. You need a blood bath today. If you're not saved, that's what you need. If you are saved, you're not living right, you need that. We're going to give an invitation. This preacher right here, good preacher. Stand up here, preacher. Just preach this morning at nursing home. He'll take a Bible and show you simply as ABC how to admit you a sinner, believe on Christ, confess it with your mouth, and be saved. If you're already saved, you don't need him. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. You come up here and talk to Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Let's get our hymn book, turn to 451. 451.